Dank Diaz is back.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Yeah, okay. You know, what are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we may all speak different languages, but in here, we speak MMA. We are here to do Smack My Picks Up for hashtag UFC 241, which is also known as Cormier versus Miocic 2, which will take place August 17th, 2019 at the Honda Center in good old Anaheim, California, just down the street from Disneyland, ladies and gentlemen. Last week, we were down a man, but thankfully, this week, we are here with the Fighting Four. My name is Proteus. I will be here with you all night, but DJ Tony, let's not waste time. Let's go ahead and throw to the first lady of AMP Radio. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Tony to chill!
Hi, guys. Hey,
what's
I'm
up, Pammy?
A little bit. I am major buzzing right now. I had to take some Benadryl, so if I, fall, go off my path here, y'all bring me back.
We definitely will bring you back onto the path, Pammy. We've all been there.
Have...
Do you remember that time? That time when we did a show?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm like. I had, I guess for lack of a better word, I had an allergic reaction to the sun. And, right. Well, the thing is, when I go to the beach, I give myself an hour and a half, maybe. Anything more than that, I know I'm going to mess myself up. And I did. And I am paying for it because I've got, some poisoning. So I had to be popping Benadryls and antihistamines. So I'm serious major buzzing right now. But Nate Diaz is back.
Right on, man. I wish I was in your world right now. My phone decided to take a dive into a pool on Monday.
Uh-oh.
So that's fun. So let's go ahead and bring in the big boss man himself in transit on the road. But you know what? He wanted to be part of the Fighting Four tonight. He wanted the team to be back together. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ!
It's Tony time, bitches.
I'm Bruna Basislav, or as Sam likes to say, hi.
Oh, there
hey.
We go. Nice one. I like that.
What's up?
What's up?
He's got directions. He's on the road. He's living life, Pammy. He's trying to get his work on.
I thought he said he had
on.
Russians in the background. I ain't telling nobody.
All right, so listen, let's go ahead and get to the star himself. You know, the previous champion from last week carried over. Of course, he was not on the show last week because his son was visiting from Germany again. Family first. Let's go ahead and get into it. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Call me Marco. Without no OSP, can't you know me? Without no OSP.
Marco from Waco Road. The Marco kid is still visiting. He doesn't leave yet. And,
yes,
the
sir.
Fighting Four is like, we're like Bullfrog. We assemble and we fight Godzilla and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
man. You got a scuba form because you decided to take a dive on the pool? Produce.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk to MMA.
As I mentioned at the top, to the heavyweight division we go. Daniel, the champion, Cormier versus the longest reigning ex-champion, Stipe Miocic. Of course, this is number two. We're running it back, brother. Marco, let's start with you. I just want to get into it because this fight card, at least the first three fights, are very, very exciting. And this one especially has got my interest. It's really... really piqued my interest because Stipe has been off for a long period of time since he fought Daniel last. Daniel did not want to fight Stipe. The Brock Lesnar fight fell through, and now we have Stipe Miocic again. Marco, do you agree or disagree with me that Stipe maybe took that first fight with Daniel Cormier too soon after his defense against Francis Ngannou? Go ahead, Marco, and tell us what you got going on here in the main event, brother.
Stipe! So, look, it's almost 1 year after the day that they fought, you know, when Stipe lost the title. And you said when you saw Cormier announced a slight favorite. But I went and rewatched the fight, man, because, you know me, when it's fights that I'm really interested in, I want to rewatch it before previously.
Absolutely.
That one round was closer than a lot of people are talking about. I mean, Stipe was taking it to Daniel until he got into the clinch and then he got cut by the left hook. Yeah, left hook. Believe me, that trick is not going to happen again. They're already prepared for that. So I'm expecting a closer fight and a longer fight of this.
Yeah.
Cormier is not known as a knockout artist. He submits most of the people that he beats, like after he wears them down. That was a perfect shot. I mean, Stipe got is historically a granite chin. You know, he had taken shots from the best of them. Dos Santos, Ngannou, freaking Overeem, you name it. Yeah, he got knocked out, it's true, but that was a perfect shot. And this shot by Cormier also was a perfect shot. And then he saw the losses, like that work he got with Junior Dos Santos that arguably he won, like he arranged that. Oh, man, I didn't see him throw back and forth with this fight. In the best case scenario, you know, for business-wise, it would be better if DC wins the fight. But I see, because it's, Daniel is 40, we don't see the back issues. The fact that he kind of surprised Stipe the first time. Physically speaking, we are both cardio machines, but Stipe got the size on him. I mean, he's still the taller, ranger guy. He can go wrestling with Cormier. I'm not saying that he's going to take him down, but he won't be taking down Ishii himself. I think the Stipe is going to ace this one out. It's going to be a war because, you know, the Boca can't be for race. And I think the cleaner boxer is Stipe Miocic. He's the more polished striker. The better wrestler is Daniel Cormier. And Daniel always tend to fall back to his boxing every time he falls, he gets in trouble with somebody striking. Enter Anthony Johnson and enter even Anderson Silva. I think Stipe is going to be able to outpoint in a very, 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 very close decision Daniel Cormier, 48-47, 47-48, 43-7. Three decision win for Stipe, setting up a trilogy. You know, because Johanna had anyone going to ask for the rubber match if you get the, especially a close decision, and Stipe regaining his belt. Put in a little bit of a damper to join John fight, I'm taking it on a very close decision. If Daniel Cormier wins, it won't surprise me. It goes favorite, but I'm trying to make it interesting and get a Stipe to win.
Just let me give you guys the odds before I throw it to Pam, because, Marco, I did not give you the odds before we started. Daniel Cormier right now on Five Dimes is minus 135. Stipe Miocic, Pammy, coming back at us at a plus 115. Now, Marco, I was going to say
those odds closed, because this morning it was minus 160 for Daniel Cormier and plus 120 for Stipe.
Wow.
So it's getting tighter. That's what it's telling you, how close this fight is.
I tell you what, this is what the UFC should be about, guys. Right here, right now, this is what it should be about. We've talked about it before on the show. I'm not going to get into it. But what I wanted to comment on real quickly, Pam, before I throw to you is, Marco, you said it would be best if Cormier wins. But then you also said that, you know, if Miocic wins, we're going to get that rubber match. I think that's best. In my opinion, for Stipe to win, because then we've got that big heavyweight matchup going. The UFC loves making money. I think the heavyweight division is where they make their money, brother.
I understand that it will be a great fight and it will do good business. But everybody can acknowledge that the biggest money fight and the biggest rivalry out there is DC John Jones. So it's not because the Stipe versus Cormier 3 would be a fantastic fight, especially if Stipe wins this weekend. It is because the rivalry of John and DC is so big that it automatically makes more money. And that a little bit more, that rivalry is better known now than the split DC rivalry.
Okay, Pammy, I think that, you know, we Marco's making good points about that, but what do you think? Who's got this going down, and what do you see moving forward? Who would you like to see Daniel Cormier fight next? Do you want to see the rubber match, or do you want to see him fight John Jones next?
I don't even want to see John Jones, much less hear his name. But anyways, we're here to talk about DC. I'm not here to talk about Jones. We're here to talk about DC and Stipe, part two. This fight, oh my gosh, it's been, what, a year, 2 years in the making?
13 months in the day.
It's been a while. It's been a minute, but, you know, Daniel Cormier he's on fire. I mean, you look at his competition and who he's beat. Derek Lewis, Volkan Ozdemir, Anthony Johnson, Anderson Silva, Alex Thunder Gustafsson, Anthony Johnson again. He's beat Dan Henderson, Roy Nelson, Frank Mir, Josh Barnett, Antonio Silva. I mean, he's kind of beaten the who's who. And, you know, you go to Stipe, and I think Stipe is still, I mean, he's still relatively, new-ish, even though he's 36. And Stipe again, you know, he's got a win over Francis Ngannou, Junior Dos Santos, Alistair Overeem, Fabricio Werdum, Andrea Blarski, Mark Hunt. So both of these guys have fought the who's who of, you know, who the fuck are you? But you know what? I like Stipe a lot. I love him. If he wins, I'm going to be really happy, but I'm going with DC on this. Stipe has only gone five rounds twice, so I kind of a little bit question his cardio, where DC has gone, and I think he's also the more active fighter, wrestling, KO power, jiu-jitsu. Stipe may have cleaner and more on-point boxing, but I think DC gets this done. I am looking at a third-round submission, actually.
Okay. Pammy, I'm going to trust you to put yourself on mute so that I don't have to do it for you, okay, in between when we're not speaking to you, because there's a lot of background noise coming in, and I'm just trying to run everything today, and I do apologize. Yeah, we heard a lot of, yeah. Okay, so thank you very much for that that pick. And I mean, that's why this one's so interesting, right, Tony? This fight is interesting because we've got, you know, on paper, the most talented or the most winningest champ in UFC history. But we've also got a guy in Daniel Cormier who is undefeated except for John Jones, right? He went down to light heavyweight, fought John Jones twice, lost to him twice. But at heavyweight, he's never lost, right? We throw back to the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. He was an alternate. He came in, won that, and we can't take anything away from DC, right? And he has a win over Stipe in their last fight. So let's go ahead and throw to you, DJ Tony. I know there might be some background noise, you know, with DJ Tony driving. So let's just bear with him. Thank you for being here, Tony. What you got in the main event?
Well, who are you, and what have you done with my buddy Proteus? Because you are giving DC rave reviews there. So this is crazy.
Right?
So, well, obviously, we're not the only ones that have sun damage right now. By the way, it's 106 degrees in Sacktown, which is where I'm at. I got to be honest with you guys. I totally agree with every single thing Marco was saying, with the exception of one thing. This fight isn't going five rounds. That's for damn sure. It's not even going to happen. But this time, guys, I'm choosing Stipe. I know I forgot if it was Luke Thomas or if it was Brendan Schaub that said that Stipe sounds so punchy right now. And you know what? And I agree. I don't think Stipe sounds like Stipe. But here's the thing. I think DC has 1 foot out the door, and I think he's had 1 foot out the door for quite some time. I think DC has nothing to lose, and I think he's going to fight, unfortunately, like He doesn't care. I think Stipe has everything to lose. I'm taking Stipe, second round TKO, over one of my favorite fighters ever, DC, Daniel Cormier.
Right on, brother, right on. Stipe! Hey, listen, guys, I think that this fight is so, I mean, even though we have the results of the first fight, I think that we can't go into this thinking that it's going to be that way, like Margo was saying. I think that we have to take into account that he's going to learn from his mistakes, and he's going to be able to move forward. Now, like Marco also likes to say, there's levels to this shit. And as we know, Daniel Cormier is on another level, man. Like I was saying when I threw to DJ Tony, I think this is very, very interesting. I think it's going to go differently from the first fight also. I think that Stipe is going to be able to show that he is better than he showed in the first fight. And if he's not able to, I think that what happened here is that we should not have allowed Cain Velasquez to be the heavyweight champion. We should have just allowed Daniel Cormier to move directly into the heavyweight division, and we would never have seen a John Jones fight, I know. But I would love for Stipe to win, and in my heart, I am going to pick Stipe for the storyline, guys. For the storyline, I do not want to see John Jones come up and fight Daniel Cormier next. I want for Daniel Cormier to again have a fight with Stipe Miocic. Give John Jones the appropriate amount of time to get ready for a heavyweight fight, and then that's when I would like to see it. I don't
give more time for John Jones to take more picograms.
Yeah, nah, maybe. I mean, and of course, that's always going to follow John Jones. I mean, he's not going to get away from the picograms. We're going to bring it up nonstop, buddy. That's it. Even when Aaron Pico fights, we're going to bring up the picograms because it's just fun. I'm going to take Stipe here, guys. I tend to agree with you, Marco. I think that perhaps we're going to see something a little bit more drawn out. But I think that I'm going to go for something a little bit more exciting. I'm going to go with a third round TKO for Stipe. I think that, you know, Daniel doesn't get tired, but I think that there's going to be a lot of work in this fight, even though it's a heavyweight fight. And of course, Daniel's going to be the heavier fighter. Let's be honest. He likes that Popeye's chicken. So third round TKO for me for Stipe.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I mean, Daniel's asking here. I mean, when he got hit by Anthony Johnson, Volkan Ozdemir touched him, Anderson Silva touched him, John Jones touched him several times. And he likes to dip his head a lot. If he still do his homework,
exactly.
He's looking for when Daniel dips his head to engage with an uppercut or a hook.
And yet, like you said, Marco, like he's 40 years old. He's got this kind of ingrained style that he's working with now, right? We know John Jones is able to take, like you just said, John Jones was able to take advantage of it. Maybe Stipe's been watching the tape and been working for that, right? Wonderful. Let's go ahead and move right along to the co-main event. DJ Tony, cue that music. To the welterweight division we go. Anthony, pretty boy, Pettis, had his second fight at 170 pounds against the returning, as Pammy said earlier on, Nate Diaz. We haven't heard that name in a while. We haven't talked about Nate Diaz in a while. He's been trying to get a big money fight. Maybe this is the big money fight that he's been looking for. I don't know, Pammy. Let's throw to you. I know Nate Diaz is your guy. Let me give you the odds real quickly because this show is off the cuff right now. Anthony Pettis at a minus 135. Of course, we call him Showtime, against Nate Diaz at a plus 115. Pammy, take yourself off mute and what you got?
All right. Who has not been waiting for this fight? Right? This is the people's main event. Look, I had to even get, look, I went and got Cedric a cracker so he'd be quiet. But this is the people's main event. If you look at, I was catching up on Twitter and looking at some things, and I think people were looking at, They were talking, showing like the different fights, and people were viewing the Nate Diaz, Anthony. My meds are kicking in, man. I tell you, you're supposed to catch this.
You got it. You're doing great.
But anyway, Nate, man,
I am so glad that he's back. I think this is going to be a fun fight. I wish it was five rounds. I'm sure everybody else, well, maybe everybody else wishes that it was five rounds too. But, you know, I'm going with Nate. I think it's going to start kind of slow. The first round, they're going to kind of feel each other out, see what's going on. I think it's going to go all three. And I don't know if I want to do a TKO or a submission TKO.
Oh, so you're taking third round? Okay, you're taking third round.
Third round. I'm going to go with the sub, a third round sub.
All right, for Nathan Diaz. All right, I like that. All right. DJ Tony, let's quickly throw to you because you are in the hometown of, I think he's from the Sac town, isn't he? Southern California. Excuse me if I'm incorrect,
Stockton,
so you can correct
baby.
Me.
209.
Ah, Stockton. Right. Northern California, my bad. All right. What is happening here, DJ Tony, in the co-main event? Pammy says that maybe this is going to start off slow. I don't know if you agree with that, but what you got going on here in the co-main event of UFC 241, brother?
I'll tell you one thing right now. This is truly the main event. I don't care what anyone says. Whenever Nate Diaz fights, it's a deal. And, of course, I'm also a Diaz fan. I will say this, though, you guys. Pettis has taken a lot of beatings. I mean, a lot. This is not the same Showtime Pettis when he fought one of my boys, Benson Henderson. Of Showtime. Any fight that I've seen in quite some time, this is probably going to be the hardest for me to choose because I don't really know what's going to happen. But so I'm going to give my prediction. I think Nate Diaz doesn't do anything different, guys. Old-time boxing, heavy on the front leg, guards pretty well, sways a little, great jiu-jitsu, like Pam would say, against, of course, Anthony Pettis, who needs a lot of practice to do what he does. The thing is, though, Anthony Pettis, even at 170, guys, to me, looks a little bloated, not joking. I'm picking Nate Diaz, guys. I think Anthony Pettis is either going to break his hand again or do something. He's going to chop up Nate Diaz's legs for the first two rounds. Nate Diaz is going to submit him, so I'm taking Nate Diaz with a third-round submission over Anthony Showtime Pettis.
All right, so Pammy and Tony going with the same pick there, Nate Diaz with third-round submission. I think what you're saying, Tony, is right. If Anthony Pettis is smart, he's going to work those legs. He's going to beat up those legs of Nate Diaz that have not been in the octagon for, as Marco said, a pretty long time, right? I mean, the last time we saw him was when he was on fighting McNuggets. And, you know, McNuggets hasn't been in the octagon for a fair minute. But the one thing that I always, you know, have to take into account about the Diaz brothers is they never seem like they have ring rust. They never seem like they've, you know, spent too much time off because exactly like you said, Tony, they do what they do. They're very good at boxing. They're very good on the ground. But again, the smart thing to do is work that leg. Work the legs and move around and get away from them and drag them into deeper waters. And Pammy, I don't think that I would have liked to see this one go five rounds. I think I'm pretty happy with this one being three rounds as Nate Diaz has been out of the octagon for so long. Yeah, we know they're active. We know the Diaz brothers are active. We know, you know, the triathlons and yada, yada, yada. They're in good shape, but they're not always in the octagon with the bright lights and the cameras in their face. And this is a co-main event. They've got lots of media to do. I do think that I'm also going to, having said all that, I'm going to take Nate Diaz. I think that he's going to be able to get to Anthony Pettis. He's going to be the longer fighter. He's going to be able to, you know, suck up some of those leg kicks and get to Anthony's face. I'm going to take him by second round TKO. Thank you very much. Marco, the voice of reason always on the co-main events. What do you got, brother? You got Anthony Pettis taking this one down, moving up in weight again, or you got Nate Diaz coming back after a long period off? What you got, brother?
Nate Diaz fought the last time in UFC 202 on August 20, 2016, almost 3 years.
That's almost
the day of the
40 fight. UFCs
three,
ago.
3 years. 3 years. 3 years, man. That's a long freaking time.
Yeah.
I guess he made so much money he didn't need to fight. But look, Anthony Pettis is a guy that needed space to freaking do his parkour showtime things, man. And he's outstanding when you give him space. He always struggles with guys that pressure him. Enter Rafael Dos Anjos, man. That's in the center of my brain. You know why? You know, everybody knows why, because my baby was made because of that fight.
Of course.
But look, I believe that I see the pictures. I mean, maybe I look like granny, dude. Those guys don't get out of shape. He's not cutting that much, maybe because he's not really going to 155. He's just cutting like 5 or 10 pounds to go to 170. And the cardio is always going to be there for the Diaz brothers, especially Nate Diaz. He's going to be the kind of pressure guy. He's going to be on Anthony Pettis' face the whole time. He's not going to allow him to start his cheating game, you know. And because of that, I don't think that Anthony Pettis is going to wilt, but he's not going to be able to sustain the onslaught that Nate Diaz is going to put on him. If he tries to wrestle, he might get interesting. But I mean, Pettis has never been the kind of guy that would try for a takedown or shoot for a takedown. So it gives him another feet, and I think he will for most of the fight. I have to go with Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz doesn't like knock you out by one punch. He's dead by a thousand cuts. And for better or for worse, Pettis can take a punishment. You know, he can take a beating. So it's going to be, I think, a pretty one-sided, man, decision, 30-27 for Nate Diaz. And, you know, he's probably going to set up a big fight against McNuggets for the third time. Or even a Masvidal fight. Or even a Jorge Masvidal fight, because they've been talking crap to each other lately. And that would be a fantastic fight, too. So give me an idea by decision.
Okay, I got it. You're in the books. All right, guys. We weren't sure if we were going to have enough time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. Marco, I'm going to start with you because, you know, you weren't too sure.
Stop. We need to talk about Romero versus Costa.
You're right. No, you're right. I absolutely am jumping the ship. All right. To the middleweight division we go, DJ Tony. Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa. You know, the battle of the bots. What more can I say, Marco? this is definitely... everybody in this fight is looking good, getting off the bus, as I might say. Let's go ahead and give the odds right here. Yoel Romero at a minus 155. Paulo Costa coming back at us, Marco. And I'm going to start with you. Screw the order. I'm just going to start with you. Paulo Costa coming back at us at a plus 135. I mean, what's going on here, brother? Do you see the Battle of the Bonds going Yoel Romero's way, or this time off hurt him?
So, look, Yoel Romero, who supposedly is $27 million richer, but he's never going to see that money because that company folded. at age 41, dude, I mean, the guy is a specimen. But eventually, Ace is going to have to catch up with him. I mean, wrestling-wise, his credentials are second to none. You know, silver medalist in the Olympics. But he barely uses wrestling. He is very economical on his approach, you know, because he tends to gas a little bit, but he explodes. And when he explodes, you know, everything gets destroyed. Costa, on the other hand, is more like a volume fighter. He is the first big test for Paulo Costa. If he beats Romero, they're putting a rocket ship on his back to go directly to the title, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I am not convinced with Paulo Costa, man. I mean, if he proves me wrong this weekend, great. But I'm picking Romero because I think the wrestling is going to be the difference. He's going to be able to take Costa down and, you know, continuously and explore what he needs to. And I think the time of this is good, too. You know, I mean, for one reason or another, this fight was, you know, postponed, it's finally here. I think Romero is going to be able to explore and hurt Costa and then, you know, bother him with the takedowns. And, you know, it takes only one from Romero to knock anybody in the planet. I think he's going to be able to find that one shot because he's the king of the comeback. He's the king of the third round. Sometime, somewhere in the third round, John Romero is going to find that freaking atomic bomb he has for a right hand, connect on Paulo Costa, and not Paulo Costa clean out. So give me Romero by knockout on the third.
Okay, by KO in the third, Marco. Listen, like I said, these two guys look good getting off the bus. Marco, we've got the Soldier of God at number two, the Eraser at number seven, Paulo Costa. Look, Pammy.
Not the gay Jesus.
Yes, exactly. Not the gay Jesus. Look, these guys, the record here is pretty close, Pammy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Paulo Costa is 12-0. Yoel Romero is 13-3. Like Marco said, you know, Yoel has been up at the top. He's been fighting the best of the best. He's been fighting the champions. And this is a shot for Paulo Costa. And Jesus, these guys both, Bobby Knuckles, exactly, both look good getting off the bus. Marco, I thought you were going to be holding against Paulo Costa because he was from some other country that, you know, not Peru. He is from Brazil, but you don't really hold anything against the Brazilians, right? It's just the Argentinians. All right, let's move on. Pammy, let's throw to you. Mm-hmm. What do you got here? Of course, this could be the spotlight fight of the night, right? Because this is definitely going to, in on paper, going to be fireworks. What you got here?
I think this fight's going to be pretty amazing. 13-3, 12-0. Yoel Romero is the youngest 60-year-old man I have ever seen. Paulo Costa, 28. Both of these guys, I mean, if you look at them on paper, they're very similar. Both of them 6 feet tall. Yoel Romero has a 73.5-inch reach versus Paulo Costa's 72-inch reach. Paulo does have, you can hear Cedric in the background. KO power, he is a black belt in jiu-jitsu going up against Yoel Romero with his freestyle wrestling and kickboxing. But keep in mind, both of these guys burn up a lot of oxygen because their bodies are so massive with muscles.
Thank you, Joe Rogan.
Keeping that, did he say that too? Or do I sound like him? Do I sound like him? But
yeah,
anyway.
That's what he says.
No,
yeah.
You know who Yoel Romero reminds you of? He reminds you of one of those Stretch Armstrong dolls.
Oh, yeah.
But
anyway,
but you know what? Yoel, I'm looking at his fight resume, and if you look at who he's fought, Robert Whittaker, Luke Rockhold, Chris Weidman, Shakur Ray, Lyoto Machida, Tim Kennedy, Derek Brunson. I mean, he has fought the cream of the crop. Paulo Costa, he's still a baby. This dude is 28. I think he's still a little bit green. I think Yoel Romero has a chin that's made out of granite, and Yoel Romero's magic number is 3. Everything that he does happens in that third round. I am picking him with the third round TKO.
Okay.
But right. I'm going to put a disclaimer in here. If Paulo Costa wins, I will not be upset.
All right. Of course you won't. Cue the music, right? Pony. Three, two,
for
one.
Real.
All right. So, yeah. Okay. So Tony, let's bring you in here because I know you're in the car. But I mean, it's the battle of the bodies, right? What you got going on here, brother, in the people's spotlight fight of the night?
Here's the thing, you guys. I had the entire time when this fight was announced, I had Yoel Romero in this. But I keep thinking about it, guys, and just like with DC. All right, so let's just say that Pam is right and that Yoel Romero really is 73, right? and again, that's yet to be determined that Yoel Romero actually is 40, right? But assuming he is, age at one time has to catch up to you. I think this is going to be the fight that Marco was describing with DC and Stipe. I think this is going to go all three. I think they're both going to be pleased that it goes all three. I think it's going to be boring, not a lot of action, and guess who's going to lose? Yoel Romero. And listen, I know you too, but he's going to lose. So I'm picking Paulo Costa. Be a very boring split decision over the 75-year-old Yoel Romero.
No, I don't know what Marco said there, so I apologize.
I'll see you soon, boy. I love you.
I'll see you. Yeah. You remember when he kissed Luke Rockhold? Wasn't that fun?
Luke Rockhold.
All right. My computer is totally fucked. I'm going to take Costa as well, DJ Tony. I think that you're right. 12-2 is a great record. Yeah, Romero has fought the best of the best, and I think that's why it's Costa's time. You know, he's ready. He's primed and ready. And, you know, this fight was supposed to be supposed to happen a while ago, but it didn't happen. So now it got rescheduled, and I love it. I really do. I mean, these top three fights, as Marco had said, are just spectacular. You know, this is what the UFC should be. This is what the UFC
take
should
my
be.
Money,
hey,
take
the
my
UFC
money for the three fights.
Exactly. This is when we want to give you our money. We don't want to give you money when you give us, whomever versus whomever on ESPN Plus. We don't want that. We want this kind of thing. We're hardcore fans, and you should be catering to us. Paulo Costa, second round KO. I'm going right out there. KO. All right, guys. That was quick. That was quick. Does anybody have a spotlight fight of the night? Pammy, do you got a spotlight fight of the night? Or anybody? Anybody want to do spotlight?
I have my spotlight. My spotlight is Gabriel Benitez and Sadiq Youssef. I think that's going to be a great, great, great fight. Lots of action. I am picking Gabriel Benitez with decision.
Okay, Benitez by decision. Marco, you go next.
Uh-huh. Oh, I got Asun Salvas with Cohagan. And
I
think Cohagan is the new hotness. It's a fantastic fight, but I think Cohagan is the new hotness, so I'm going to pick Cohagan by decision.
Oh, wow, really? Okay. That's an interesting pick. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Cohagan is kind of one of those guys that's impressing me right now, and that's okay. We'll see. DJ Tony, what you got going on here, brother? Spotlight fight of the night, you got one?
Brodius, I'm not going to take your spotlight fight because I already know, as my friend, I know who you're going to go with. Shout out to Derek Brunson. But I'm going to go straight to the bottom, to the UFC Fight Pass, the mythical UFC Fight Pass. I'm going with Sabina Mazzo. They're giving her a gimme here. There are no such things. But Sabina Mazzo over Shayna Dodson.
All right. So, Tony, going with Mazzo decision. Well, there's a lot of decisions in you guys' picks here. I don't know about that 100%.
It is
like you're trying to not make a decision. All right, so listen, guys. What stuck out to me was the, of course, the Cohagan fight, because I think that's one that we need to keep our eyes on. He's a talented figure in that division. Derek Brunson, of course. As you mentioned, DJ Tony, on the list. Of course, Sandhagen is what I'm going to go with. You didn't say Sandhagen, did you, Marco?
Yeah, it's like Sanhagen by the Fission.
Okay, because it didn't sound like Sanhagen to me, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I cannot pronounce it. My brain is not connected right to my
feet. No, you know what, man? I've had a rough day as well. That's a good fight. I mean, Sanhagen, if he gets that done, is yeah, one step closer to where he needs to be. I'm going to take the Dracar Close fight versus Christos. Yep, Christos. We'll go with that. I'm going to take Close. Proteus is going to take Close. Oh, wow. No, I'm not actually going to take it by close decision. I think that Close is going to be able to get this one done and show out a second round TKO.
Proteus, shout out to Crystal Yagos, who we interviewed on the show. Shout out
That's
to
right.
Crystal Yagos.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, that was the LFA interview, right? Brother?
Oh, my God. Okay,
RFA,
you guys,
that's
you guys
right.
Broke all
that's
the
right.
Rules. You broke all the rules. Shame on you.
Marco is just talking right over us right now, Mark, Tony. But
you.
That was we did interview him. If you want to go back in the archives, we did interview Christos Yagos on the RFA edition that we did. That was probably 2 years ago. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We do have a little bit of time left, so let's go ahead and throw into a little bit of MMA Rewind. Marco, cue that.
Rewind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we had a not a very close week last week. I just want to have to tell you guys once again, I don't know why you guys are trying this year. You know what I mean? You should just give the title to me every week. 100%, just go ahead and give it to me, because you guys, I don't know what this is. I mean, Paul was in this one. He didn't do very well. Pam, 1 point. Tony got 2 points. And Marco, you weren't even here to defend your title. I don't know what's going on here. Proteus is the winner.
I got to back it because I tested positive for PEDs, man.
Proteus is the winner with 4 points. I dominated, just so y'all know. But let's go ahead and throw into it. Ladies and gentlemen, in the main event, we had, Shevchenko looking good. I mean, guys, we talked about it on the program. We have said that this division, Marco, is just like designed for Shevchenko to do well. She fought Liz Carmouche, and of course, she fought Liz Carmouche to a decision. Marco, what did you think about this 5-round fight? Did Liz Carmouche show well against Valentina?
No, she shut down, and Valentina did enough to win. I mean,
right.
Let's be honest, the fight was boring. I watched it because, you know, I like Valentina Shevchenko, but she won every single round. She didn't have to do much to win every single round because Carmouche did not want to fight. She threw zero significant strikes on round 4. Carmouche, zero. That's all I have to tell you about. How if you are on the fourth or fifth round and you know you are 3 rounds down, throw a punch. Don't hit the air.
Right.
This Carmouche is not sure how to fight. I would rather talk about the other 3 fights prior to that. Freaking Mike Perry's nose it has become a meme on itself. I don't care if Mike Perry loses every single round from here until eternity. If he fights the way he did on last Saturday, he's one of my favorite fighters. Then we got the Uruguayan guy that just made his debut. Fantastic welcoming for the Uruguayan guy. I'm freaking
yep.
Burkan Ozdemir, knockout Queen Latifah. And I was actually one of the key's best performance on the octagon. I mean, that was a complete performance for Burkan. No time, did it on the second round. And, man, knockout Queen Latifah, that is really hard to freaking put down because that guy got a great exchange. So, congratulations to Burkan.
I just wanted to say that I called that. I got the round incorrectly, but that was my spotlight fight of the night. I did have no time winning that. Pam, I like the breakdown that Marco just did, so why don't you go ahead and do the same thing? Break down the main event, and then anything else that you saw that was fantastic for you.
Oh, my God. The main event, I wish that I would have switched to bare-knuckle boxing because I had – I had worked all day that day. I'd been working all week because I was working for my coworker. Man, I was about to fall asleep, and I wish that I would have changed it to bare knuckle boxing. But the Luque Perry fight, that was incredible. So much fun to watch, and welcome to the Arlovsky look-alike club for Mike Perry.
Yeah, perfect. That's nice. I like that. Wonderful. Anything else, Pammy?
I don't know. You know, I just thought it was a fun night. But you know what I was wondering? When they were showing Jorge Masvidal and Pontenibio there with their wild shirts, and then they show Chito Vera there with that boring green shirt. It's like, why did they take him cool shirt shopping, you know?
Yeah.
Show him some love.
Well, maybe he doesn't want a cool shirt, man. Maybe he doesn't want a special fashion. Maybe he likes plain green.
Well, no. He needs a funky shirt.
Okay. He's in Montevideo, Uruguay. Probably that is the fashion there right now. Who knows?
Hey, brother, I've got two shirts with roses on them right now. I love it. I mean, the street Jesus is winning right now. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw back to you in the car, brother. MMA Rewind. Shevchenko, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, the champions, they want to retain their championship, and we just kind of see these kind of fights where they just dominate people. You know what I mean? They just kind of pick people apart and just beat them up. What did you think about Liz Carmouche's performance? Of course, everybody else not preferring that fourth round, but what did you have going, DJ Tony? How did you get this one done?
First off, I want to say, you know, shout out to our newest sponsor, Haterade, brought to you by Pam. Brought to you by Pam. Hey, listen, let's be honest. And the only thing that I'm good at is breaking down box and kickboxing breakdowns because I've done it. Let's not forget who Valentina is. I think so many times we want to put her anyone in a box. Shout out to Haterade. But Shevchenko is a counter striker, you guys. She counters strikes. She never goes first. He's telling you that because I'm a counter striker. So all of a sudden you have Liz Carmouche. What is she known for? Jiu-jitsu. All of a sudden she wants to be a kickboxer and all the blame is being placed on Valentina?
Right.
Sorry, guys. Valentina's too smart for that. Everyone's to blame for that fight. It was a debacle. It was boring. Shout out to Chase Sherman, who won the bare knuckle boxing heavyweight title. So shout out to him.
The vanilla gorilla.
But yeah, listen, this card was garbage to begin with. I think we did the best we could with what we had to watch. And shout out to Veronica Macedo, who finally got a submission. So yeah, listen, it's a freebie, guys. It's not meant for us.
Yeah, there are a lot of cards
Tiny Tornado, Tisha Torres, 4-5 losing streak. I'm surprised by that.
I think she's just the size difference was just so apparent, Marco. The women's divisions, as we've said previously, are going to need time to develop, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. We're just starting to see these people that were really, really good in their divisions that are facing larger people, like in the women's divisions, just being outclassed. What are your thoughts, Marco?
Well, I think Tisha Torres fought as an atomweight. She was a 105 champion.
She should be fighting there again, but the UFC doesn't have it.
Yeah, no, she's doing the best she can with the ability she has. And she's always going to be undersized. And I'm not saying that she's never going to win again, but it's getting problematic for Tisha Torres, you know, with a 4-5 losing streak. Yeah. I don't think she's going to get caught, but she needs to figure something out because they're not going to let her get a fifth freaking loss in a row. That's for sure.
You know, they need all the women they can get, man. They need all the women right now that they can get. And, I mean, maybe they need to
the 125. I see a lot of new 125ers that are invested in that division. So,
well, that's a great division for the women, though, is that right? I mean, let's be honest. Great division.
right on the sweet spot. It's like the lightweight. It's going to be like the lightweight division of our males. Yeah.
Pammy, what you got going on here? Do you got a guilty pleasure of the week other than Benadryl?
Right now, I'm still 90 Day Fiance. Best train wreck ever. It will make you feel so fantastic about your life.
I would love to feel fantastic about my life.
Well, then you need to watch this show because you see these train wrecks, and then you realize, man, I am awesome.
Hey, you know what I saw? Just on a side note, you know what I saw last week, Pammy? I saw a fairly large lady on a scooter, followed by a gentleman who was pulling a trailer on his bike. That had no rubber on it. It was just a tire. It had no wheel on it. That's downtown life in Brantford, Ontario.
So it was rolling on a rim, basically?
Yeah, man. I don't think I need to watch 90 Day Fiancé. I live in
Brantford,
Ontario.
Oh, honey, believe me, you do. You will feel like a prince. You will feel like a prince. I tell you,
all right,
you gotta watch
DJ Tony,
90 Day Fiance.
Let's throw to you. I'm done with 90 Day Fiance. I don't like watching people's poor lives. What do you got, DJ Tony? You're in the car. You're on your way back. It's 100 degrees. What you got? You got a guilty pleasure? You got Twitter follow? What do you got? Song of the week, even.
My Twitter follow of the week will be, because you know we always follow combat, including boxing, Heather Hardy, who will be defending her title. So act. Heather Hardy box, but my guilty pleasure on Amazon Prime, how about a good show, The Boys? You need to watch that on Amazon Prime.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good show. We started watching that one as well. I do agree with that 100%. I really don't have anything this week, guys, for you. Check out Proteus's shower picks on the YouTubes. My phone has been down, as I said at the beginning of the show. You know what? It's been really nice. You know, you hear Joe Rogan and Bert Kreischer and the boys talk about maybe we should stop, you know, playing with our phones. I haven't had a phone for 2 days, guys, and I've really enjoyed it. I feel like I've got my confidence back. Like I've been feeling like, oh, nobody's talking to me. Nobody's responding to my tweets. Nobody's responding to my text messages. I haven't had a phone for 2 days and it's been great. So that's my PSA for you guys right now. Put your phones down for a little while and enjoy your life.
You know what I
enjoy
do at
your
night?
Children, enjoy your kids, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'll completely turn mine off. Or if I'm going someplace, I leave it here at home.
You know
my
what,
motto
man,
is, I am always where I need to be.
Yeah, I just think moving forward, I just don't need to do it as much. I mean, other than promoting the show, which, you know, is something that I do on both all of the social medias, I just don't think I need to do it anymore. I'm good, man. Be where you are. All right, Marco, let's throw to you. Get us out of here. Give us your guilty pleasure. Give us anything you want. Twitter follow. But, you know, if you got a song of the week, what you got, brother? Get us out of here for this week.
Just to get it out of my chest. The only reason you don't have a photo is because your phone drown. You feel your phone. RIP, fam. Oh, my God. I saw that.
Okay.
My guilty pleasure, the content of Furious has been fantastic.
Tony has been putting out Contender Series content. Stay tuned to that. Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
I seen it. Tony does a great job of putting the post fights and everything. That is outstanding. But the Contender Series has been my guilty pleasure because it's on a Tuesday night, it's only the 2 hours, you get five fights, and they're usually action packed. And follow Tony at NBA Tony, follow Pama Pantana Box, follow Producer Aprobius, follow me at Maldo Marco, show the show at another MMA cast, then review us, right on Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and what can I say, man? It's five this weekend, it's a pay per view, it's deep. DC, Lady as Anthony Perry. If you're a fighter, you can make this fight. Whether it's good, then you get this week, you're the fights.
Thank you very much, Marco. And, of course, the UFC is off until August 31st, but we have a Bellator card, so we'll probably cover the
Bellator.
Woo! Emmy. Bellator. And just like that.
Yes. We're out of here.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.